So a couple weeks ago, I was studying along and things were actually going quite good until I hit one snag. In the midst of my study, I began to think about, okay, so here they're talking about the Holy Spirit, Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit, and he's about to be crucified. What do you think the apostles thought? So with that thought in your mind, let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, merciful Almighty God, we thank you. We thank you for being here with our brothers and sisters. We thank you for the freedom in which we worship. We thank you, Lord, for your holy, for this holy word. And Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. Lord, I give you the freedom to change any word that I would speak this morning. Holy Spirit, guide the words spoken here. Holy Spirit, guide the words that we hear, that each would be in a way to honor our Lord, our God, our Redeemer, our King. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, so what ended up is this study, I was putting together one sermon, and it ended up being so big, so long, that I figured that there would be only a limit to what we could stand. So I've divided it into three pieces. And I came up with this wonderful title. I thought it was great. I've received a little flack about it. But the title comes from, basically, don't we all come with questions about this Holy Spirit? Some of us call it the Holy Ghost if we grew up in King James. Some of us call it the Holy Spirit. But in a lot of times, there's a misunderstanding of exactly what does it mean, Holy Spirit. And John 16, this passage that Joel read that we will also have read two more times, so get used to it, is a passage where Jesus really gets into what the Holy Spirit's purpose is going to be, what its power is going to be. Now, I had a hard time when I came to the passage because, some people have passed away in our congregation this last year. And of course, Dad had his pacemaker thing. And I thought, oh, my goodness, what if I lose my daddy? I'm not quite ready for that. And I got this feeling, what would have been like to be the disciples that evening that Jesus was talking about this Holy Spirit business? And it did happen to be the last night that he shared with his disciples physically. What would it feel like for someone who you sort of get a hint that's going to go away, that's going to pass away, to say, well, hey, you know what? It's good I'm going. It's good I'm passing away. It's good I'm going to be killed. It's good I'm going onto the cross, because if I don't go, I can't send this other dude your way. Would you have understood that? I mean, sitting there that evening with Jesus Christ, the Son of Almighty God, who you begun to understand was the Son of Almighty God. And then all of a sudden he says, you know, I'm leaving. And it's going to be for your best that I'm doing that. Would you have understood it? I think I'd have had a hard time with that. Because everything I knew about God at that point in time had come because I had personally encountered Jesus as a disciple. I knew that if I had a problem, I could go to Jesus. And he'd hear the problem. Once in a while, he'd get a little sharp with us. You know, confront us on the things that we really needed confronting on, because he was Jesus. He could do that. Just remember the way he talked to Peter that time. He could do that. Get behind me, Satan. That came from Jesus. So how could he get it across to the disciples that he needed to leave in order for their benefit? In this first passage, we don't even get past verse 7 on this first sermon. Sorry, guys. We're going to use a lot of Scripture, but we're not really getting past verse 7. Jesus talks about this Holy Spirit coming, and He says it's beneficial. And I think we begin in this decade, maybe, to get the understanding, why did Jesus have to go? Because He couldn't be everywhere at once. And He needed. Our world needs Jesus to be everywhere present at once. And there's basically three ways He is present. Whoops, I got ahead of myself. That counselor piece is the piece that brings in Jesus Christ to the present. Jesus Christ comes as counselor. In the Greek, it's parakletos. Maybe you've heard about the paraclete. The Holy Spirit talked about as paraclete. And that's the one who's called beside. It was a word that Jesus used to help them understand that this Holy Spirit would be Jesus. Called beside them in their times of need. And there's basically three ways that we can see through Scripture that the Holy Spirit is called beside us. That same power song that you sang was a part of this. That life-giving power that sees us through each and every day. John 7, verses 37 through 39, Jesus talks like this. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the Scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." John says, by this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believe in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Who better to understand how the Holy Spirit comes as that paraclete, as that life-giving power, than the disciple John? I mean, John was the one that was really close to Jesus. He was one of the sons of thunder. Can you imagine why they called him sons of thunder? These were the dudes that wanted to know who's going to be on the right hand, who's going to be on the left hand, because they were going to bring in the kingdom. Right? And we know that John was very close to Jesus because we actually have a picture in Scripture of him being at Jesus' side at the communion table that last night, the Lord's Supper. We also know that Jesus' presence with this disciple John changed him from being a son of thunder to a disciple of Jesus Christ, whose last words and his repeated words over and over is letting people know of God's love. They will know you when you love one another. This is also the apostle who endured torture for Jesus. This is the apostle who is reported to have gone through boiling oil and survived it. This is the disciple who had that intimate encounter with the Spirit that gave him the revelation of John that we have in the Bible. He's the only one of the disciples that lived a natural life, if you can say it was natural. He lived into his 90s in Ephesus. He's the only one that was not killed for their faith, even though he was tortured for that. I imagine John is one of those dudes that knew the life-giving power of the Holy Spirit in his daily life. Think about it. Have you ever been in one of those situations in your life where you feel so empty, where the weight of the world is so pressing upon you, and then you pray, "Lord, can you get me through this? Can you help me?" And then all of a sudden there's something happened that you seem to be able to see that next moment and get through that next day. I often hear of those kind of scenarios with those who have encountered grief, when it just seems like the whole world is pressed in upon us and we don't see how we're going to see the next day. It is the Holy Spirit that helps us as Christians by giving that life power in those times when we need it most. Just like John, in the midst of those times when he was tortured and nearly killed, he was given life-giving power. That's, I think, why he writes the way he does about the Holy Spirit in his gospel. So Jesus had to leave for the Holy Spirit to come and not only be with John, but be with all of us in this congregation, everybody in the pews here. The Holy Spirit can be with us, giving us life-giving power in the day-to-day. Otherwise, it could just be one of us at a time. Secondly, there's that indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. In John 14, verses 15 through 17, he says, "If you love me, you will obey what I command it, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and in you." This is the power of the Holy Spirit to indwell in our being. In other words, as we come forward in baptism and we give our lives to Jesus Christ, we try to symbolize that pouring out of the Holy Spirit with water into our lives. It's sort of hard to get it in. Usually washes around a little bit. But it's a symbol of desire, of our openness for the Holy Spirit to be inside of us and present within us. Paul talks about it like this in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20. "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God?" That's that baptism piece. "You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body." And this shows a shift from the temple that was standing in Jerusalem to the temple that's sitting in these pews this morning. When Christ died, the curtain was torn in the temple in Matthew 27:51 and Mark 15:38. It's a transition there. The Holy of Holies isn't limited to a little spot in a stone and wood structure. Instead, the Holy Spirit of Almighty God through Jesus Christ is making its home in each and every one of us who open ourselves to bring forth our hearts of stone and who would be willing to allow the Holy Spirit to dwell there. It converts us, if you will, into the temple of Almighty God. That's why we live as different beings, converted beings. Because we're no longer just housing our own spirit in here. But we're becoming temples of Almighty God. We honor that indwelling presence of God's Holy Spirit in our lives. I know I fight with it. It's really a struggle. I want to live, you know, and take care of this body. I want to keep it in good shape so it lasts a long time. And then there's donuts. And then there's Yati's ice cream. And I have to make a confession. I really don't want to live in this frame forever. But while I'm in this frame, I do want to honor the Lord with this temple He's given to me, where I carry the presence of His Holy Spirit each and every day. So there's a struggle going on. But it's a holy struggle. Because God's indwelling presence is in us spiritually. We talk about inviting Jesus into our hearts. This is part of it, where the Holy Spirit dwells in us. And you know that couldn't happen if Jesus was still here in bodily form. He went to the Father so that we could have the benefit of the Holy Spirit's presence each and every day. And the third reason is, it empowers our witness. In John 14:26, Jesus said, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." Ever been in that situation where you wondered if you could have the right words and you knew it was a holy moment, that maybe there'd be some way you could witness of Jesus in that moment? And you say, "Well, Lord, I don't have the right words. Maybe You do." And somehow or another, God puts the right words on your lips for that moment. Sometimes I've noticed the right words are to say nothing. I mean, to me, I can just roll out a lot of words really fast. Sometimes they even come out in the right order. And sometimes the Holy Spirit says, "Keep still. Peace be still." John also says in chapter 15:26, "When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, He will testify about Me." And actually, when we put that together with Matthew 28, Acts chapter 1, we realize that it's actually the Spirit of truth that may actually use us to carry that word and testify about Him. I mean, really, if the Holy Spirit is in us, He may use us to take His word and bring it forth. I'd like for you to flip over to Acts chapter 2, if you would, please. Acts chapter 2. We're not going to do this, look at this really in depth, but I want you to look across this scripture. And of course, as you sit in your recliner this afternoon, this would be a good scripture to read, I think. Acts chapter 2. It's a short read. You might fall asleep by verse 54, but we'll see how it goes. It's the Holy Spirit that comes in Acts chapter 2 on Pentecost, which is the feast that is 50 days after the Passover and basically an anniversary of the giving of the Torah to the people of God. And these folks, can you imagine what it would have been like for these folks to all of a sudden, they were in a room together and the Holy Spirit comes and it's sort of like wind moving through and all of a sudden there's tongues of fire on their heads. Do you think anybody noticed? And it enabled these people to speak in languages that were known to the people in the city at that time. We talk about speaking in tongues and sometimes it all ends up in weird places. But these were known languages of that day and time. It'd be like me all of a sudden speaking Pennsylvania Dutch. It doesn't happen in my flesh, folks. And it empowers witness. It's as if the Holy Spirit came into this situation and empowered this witness so these people could go from that room and talk in a tongue that was not theirs for the glory of Almighty God. And it is, look at the timing of it. This timing empowers witness. It's done on Pentecost. It's acknowledging the Torah that God is speaking. And now He's speaking with people who don't know the language. You go on and you see Peter preaching, this disciple that denied Jesus three times, now knowing the forgiveness of Almighty God and His Savior Jesus Christ, is preaching. The Holy Spirit is empowering his witness. And notice the scriptures that come out in that sermon as Peter is preaching. Do you think he had those notes in hand ahead of time? Or do you think maybe the Holy Spirit allowed him to recall those scriptures that he had learned in his before his bar mitzvah and he was able to bring those forth in that day and time? I guess what I'm trying to bring about is this holy what that we often take maybe for granted, or maybe sometimes we dismiss because it's a little mysterious. This holy what is the Spirit of Almighty God through Jesus Christ, where God is empowering His people who are called by His name. It might be just empowering us to get through the day. It might just empower us to understand that we're the temple. We're a holy place now where His Spirit dwells. But it may be empowering us to move forth and witness to the gospel of Jesus Christ and His love that is seeking to bring this world back to Him. Let's face it. We live in a world where the Holy Counselor, the Holy Spirit, is in desperate need. And maybe you're feeling that this morning. But boy, I could use a filling of the Holy Spirit this morning because I'm just as empty. And I want to pray for that this morning. That holy creative breath of Almighty God that He has been breathing into lives from the very beginning of creation is the Holy Spirit available to us as we open our lives to Him. So let us take a time of prayer, and then Lindsay will close our time. Almighty God, we thank You for Your presence here with us this morning. We thank You, Lord, for Your patience with us. Now, Heavenly Father, as Your Holy Spirit continues to fill this room, I pray, Lord, that any heart that is prepared for Your Spirit would be filled. I pray for the broken heart this morning that is in need of the warm embrace of Your Comforter would feel it. That the searching heart this morning that doesn't know where to go next as they reach out to You, Holy Spirit, give them guidance. Heavenly Father, as Your Holy Spirit moves among us, guide us as we move from this sanctuary, this safe place, into a world that is full of chaos, where many hearts are seeking comfort and safety. And may we carry the witness of Your Holy Spirit with us as You give us power. Change us, mold us, move us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.